This is a production of Cornell University.
So it is now 12:16. I would like to call this meeting to order. By way of a screenshot, Karen Loparco is going to take the roll call and send that to our new, to Victoria Valhalla. So welcome, everybody. I am the new chair of the Employee Assembly. I'm really happy to see some new faces, some faces of individuals that, you know, I've worked with before on the Employee Assembly. I'm happy to start off this new year. I would like to do some introductions and then just have everybody get a sense of who we all are. I also want to talk a little bit about the agenda. If anybody's had the opportunity to look at it, we've got some items that we have to take care of this meeting, such as approving the EA budget, approving the meeting schedule. And I'd also like Gina to go over Robert's rules. So if you're new to the Employee Assembly, you get a sense of how these meetings are run and how we sort of have the order of communication here. So let's begin with introductions. I just want us to take, you know, a quick minute to kind of introduce ourselves, talk about what brings you to the EA, maybe if there are any issues that you're interested in working on, maybe talk a little bit about that. I think it's a good opportunity to just get a sense of, you know, who we are and what brought us here. So I will begin, and then I will sort of go through each of the boxes so that we get to everybody. So my name is Hey DePew. I'm a financial analyst for the College of Human Ecology, and I am the exempt employee representative at large and the chair of the Employee Assembly. I started with the EA 3 years ago as a way to kind of meet more people, learn about the university, and see what I could do to help and elevate voices of staff members, really. And so these 3 years have been a great learning opportunity, and I've met so many great people from across campus and met a lot of senior leadership, and you get the opportunity to meet, you know, different people through meetings like all across the university. So I think it's just been a really good opportunity to really elevate staff and really talk about staff issues and work through them. So that is my spiel. I want to now bring this over to Karen, the vice chair, for introductions. Karen?
Sorry, I'm having a little technical difficulty. So I am Karen Michelle Loparco, and I work.
You're on mute.
Sorry. I am Karen Michelle Loparco, and I work in the law school. I work for the events management team and also now finance department. So I have had to adjust to some changing roles and expectations here over the last week or so. And I joined the EA 2 years ago because I wanted to be more involved, and I felt that working in the law school, it was kind of like an island, and we sort of were a little bit removed from the rest of the campus, and I wanted to bring.
Sorry, Karen, we lost you a bit there. Not sure if she's completely lost reception. So for the time being, I'm going to move over to Jamie Duong. Karen, we lost you for a full minute there.
My internet is not playing nice today, so I apologize, but I'm very happy to, I'll just keep it short then. I'm very happy to be here. It's been wonderful to see a lot of leaders emerge over the last session, and it's just been great to see the momentum and the enthusiasm for the work of the EA for the university. So thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I'm going to move over to Jamie Duong, the Vice Chair for Internal Operations and Finance. Jamie?
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm a network systems administrator for the SC Johnson College of Business IT department. I've been at Cornell for 13 years, just joined the EA back in November. Thought it would be a pretty mild, quiet experience. It has turned into anything but it's been great. And I look forward to working with all of you going forward.
Thank you, Jamie. Moving on to Ellen Miller, the Vice Chair for Communications.
Hello, I'm Ellen. I work in the research division at the Weill Institute as a research administrator. And this is my third year on the employee assembly. I spent my first 2 years in the role of non-exempt employee representative. And this term I will be representing research, tech transfer, and IT. And taking on the role of the communications chair and the communications committee, and looking forward to an exciting year to come.
Thank you, Ellen. Rigel Lochner, the parliamentarian.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rigel. I am the associate health physicist for the radiation safety group, part of environmental health and safety. I joined the EA last year, and it's a very exciting opportunity to represent our group here in environmental health and safety. And I'm looking forward to working with all of you to represent the Cornell voice for all of us staff and see what we can come up with this year. So.
Thank you, Rigel. Brian?
Hi, I'm Brian Goodell. I served on the EA 20 years ago, and now I rejoined last year. I am a representative from facilities and campus services. I'm a supervisor with building care. I'm also chairing the benefits and policies committee. And I've been at Cornell about a little over 30 years now.
Thank you, Ryan. Moving on to Jackie.
Hi, I'm Jackie, and I represent the Vet College. I work in the Dean's Office and the College Research Office at the Vet School, and I joined EA last year to fill a vacant seat representing the college, and I ran this year, and I'm looking forward to working with the new members as well as some of the old members, and I enjoy participating in the EA because I like to both hear what other people across campus are dealing with and those types of issues, and also relay some of that information to my constituents and vice versa, backwards from my constituents to the EA. So it's been a very informative year, and I look forward to increased possibilities over the next term.
Thank you, Jackie. Moving on to Deborah Howell.
Hi, I'm Deborah Howell. I work at Cornell Library, but I am the veterans representative on the EA, and I'm chair of the Veterans Colleague Network Group.
Thank you. Moving on to Kate Supron.
Hi, I'm Kate Supron. I have been on the EA for, I think this is the beginning of my second term, so a little over 2 years. I am the university relations representative, and I serve on the employee welfare committee, and I missed the first meeting, but I think I'm on the communications committee. Ellen, I'll reach out to you on that one. Thanks.
Thanks, Kate. Maren Cherry.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Maren Cherry. I am a new EA member this year from Cornell Tech. And sort of the reason why I was interested in the EA is in the transition from Cornell and Ithaca, having been in CALS and food science for 5 years, transitioning to Cornell Tech really demonstrated for me that we are Cornell down here in the city, although I'm not actually in the city today. But there's really my goal is to really begin to integrate the Cornell Tech staff as Cornell staff members, not only on paper, but also conceptually and emotionally, I guess. And really begin to sort of get a sense of one Cornell down here in New York City.
Thank you, and thank you for your representation down there. Moving on to Brandon.
I am Brandon Fortenberry. I am the director of catering and concessions, which in current timeframes there's not any of. So I'm doing alternate things here and there. I've got plenty of things to keep me busy, but I'm the student and campus life representative for the EA, as well as the EA representative to the UA. That's a lot of things to say, eh? And so I've been on now the EA for a little over a year, and I've really enjoyed my time here. I started as a union employee in dining organization, have worked my way up into being the director. So I have a lot of experience working in different positions. So I thought that would be really helpful for me to be able to represent student and campus life employees at large, as well as I interact with a wide variety of campus partners, not only in student and campus life, but in many different departments. So I've really enjoyed connecting and meeting new people through this and really enjoy being able to represent and make change. I can say for a fact that I feel very much that we've made some positive changes in the short time that I've been here on the EA. So thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. Moving on to Joseph Canella.
Hi, everybody. My name's Joe Canella. I was just appointed to the EA. I serve as the LGBTQ plus representative at large. I celebrate my third year at Cornell in December, and I'm just really looking forward to getting started and making positive change across campus.
Thank you. Moving on to Jessica Withers.
Hi, I'm Jessica Withers, Library and Museum Representative, and this is my second year on the EA. Last year was a very busy one for me, and I'm kind of looking forward to letting a lot more of you do work, and I'll just sit back and support you. That would be great. With Brandon, I am one of the two EA representatives to the University Assembly.
Thank you. Moving on to Michelle Podolak.
Hi, I'm Michelle Podolak. I'm a senior project coordinator at the Yang Tan Institute on Employment and Disability at the ILR School. So I was recruited by Ann Sieverding. We were on the Personnel Policies Committee at ILR together, and she thought I would make a good representative to help make sure that our voice is available. And I previously was a member of the Employee Assembly Transportation Committee. So I've met some of you through that, and I look forward to meeting more of you.
Thank you. Moving on to Ashley.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ashley Miller. I work in Human Resources. I've been on the Employee Assembly for a year now, and I originally joined because I'd only been at the university for about a year and I wanted to meet the greater Cornell community. I hold the HRC on the EA, and within Human Resources, I'm a program manager for campus-wide employee recognition and now events, since sadly my counterpart Cheryl McGraw just retired yesterday. So looking forward to working with everybody.
Thank you. Moving on to Andrea.
Hi, I'm Andrea Hanlon-Mott. I am the Americans with Disabilities Act coordinator for Facilities and Campus Services. I am the disability rep for the EA. You and I came out at the same time 3 years ago. I was the rep for Facilities and Campus Services, but transitioned to the disability rep seat when that became vacant. And I really look forward to participating. I'm pretty active in the Employee Welfare Committee, but I may be reaching out to you, Ellen, to see if you need any help on the Communications Committee. So I look forward to working with folks, and thank you all for that are new to the EA. It's a great group of folks to work with. So it's fun, especially when we all get together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Moving on to Christine Mahoney.
Hello, I'm Christine Mahoney. I am the rep for Human Ecology. I'm director of facilities for Human Ecology. I feel like I've been on the EA for quite a bit of time. I don't know. Can't really, a few terms. And I am serving as chair of the Welfare Committee, thankfully. Welcome to all the new members. And Jessica, thank you for all your work. We have Marin, thanks to you, in your committee.
Thank you. Moving on to Laura Taylor.
Hi, everybody. Laura Taylor. I'm a senior associate director in the international for the International Services Office, Office of Global Learning. I've been on the EA for a year. Last year, I was pretty active with Jen Michael here on the Codes and Judiciary Committee, working on the Student Campus Code of Conduct. This year, I'll be chairing the Education Committee, and I look forward to working with you all.
Thank you, Laura. Moving on to Kit Tannenbaum.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kit Tannenbaum. I work in conference and event services. I do primarily room scheduling for Willard Strait, Annabelle Taylor Hall, and Sage Chapel. Much in the what Brandon said, going off what he said, events is pretty non-existent right now. So I've been just helping with general campus reactivation tasks. I got involved in the EA last November through the Benefits and Policy Committee, and I wanted to keep my momentum going and get more voices heard through the EA.
And, thank you, Kate.
Yes, hopefully, or I'm also the representative for the University Benefits Committee.
Thank you. Moving on to Brenda Fisher.
Hi, I'm Brenda Fisher. I'm newly elected as the women's representative at large. I just wanted to be more involved with my time at Cornell. I've been at Cornell almost 10 years now. So now I feel I have the lay of the land, so I decided to reach out. And this time of struggle, I thought it was, you know, just important to be involved as best as I could.
Thank you. Moving on to Jessica Townley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jessica Townley. I am the EA rep for Cornell Agritech in Geneva, New York. I actually got onto the EA. Jessica Withers had come down to the Geneva campus, and I got talking to her while I attended one of the sessions, and we hadn't had a rep in a really long time. So I work in Cal's Human Resources, but I'm the Human Resource Rep for Geneva campus. So I thought it was a good opportunity for me, as I get to pretty much know everybody on campus. So I thought it would be a good way to connect with everybody from Ithaca to Geneva and make sure that connection is strong.
Thank you. Thank you for your representation in Geneva. We've got, you know, Cornell Tech, we've got Geneva. I'm really glad to have this representation.
Thank you.
Moving on to Lisa Zachariah.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Zacharias. I work at the law school annual giving programs, as well as a gift processor acknowledgement, as we just had a retiree yesterday. So it's very recent with those new duties. But I became a new EA member to be a voice for alumni affairs and development, as well as become more involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Moving on to Mary Newhart.
Turn my video on. So I represent the College of Arts and Sciences, and I'm currently the assistant director for the Center for the Study of Inequality. This is my second year on the EA, and I'm serving on the Education Committee again. I received my employee degree through Cornell, so I think that's a really important benefit that all employees have. Really happy to serve on that committee. And I'm looking forward to my second year in EA when I know a little bit more about what's going on, and hoping to contribute some more this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. So thank you all for your introductions, and thank you all for participating in Employee Assembly. I think that we have all the Employee Assembly members introduced. I wanted to move on to our meeting schedule, which needs to be approved. This was shared in the box, but I'm going to try to share my screen right now so that we can all view it. So as you can see, we've got some fall meetings and we have spring meetings. These meetings, can be adjusted with a majority vote to make changes. Feel free to let me know if you want to make any changes to this at a glance. If not, we can go ahead and approve it for the year. So if we can, I would like to bring this this to a vote. Are we going to vote to approve the schedule, or would anybody like to make any changes? So I am going to monitor the chat now to see if there's anybody that would like to make any changes.
Well, the only thing, this is Andrea, the May 19th, 2020, that should be 2021.
Thank you. That's a good point. So we will make that change. Is there anybody else that has any, let's see, chat?
Yeah, I think just confirm, hey, without looking at a calendar in front of us, it's always the first and third Wednesday of the month. Is that correct?
Wendy, I believe it is. I see Wendy shaking her head. I think Brian, did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I was going to call the question. Move to vote.
Okay. All right. So Michelle has seconded this. Is there any dissent? Without dissent, I'm going to move to approve this by unanimous consent. So our meeting schedule is approved for the year. We will make that change so that it does say May 19th, 2021 instead of May 19th, 2020. Thank you for catching that. And then I'm going to stop sharing the screen. And then we're going to move on to our next agenda item, which is Robert's Rules. So I'm going to introduce Gina from the Office of the Assemblies to quickly go over Robert's Rules, which is integral to how we run these meetings.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the new members and welcome back to the continuing members. I have a brief presentation. It's going to do a little bit of a history of shared governance at Cornell, and then we'll get into an overview of Robert's Rules. And there'll be some time for questions at the end. You actually just participated really well in your parliamentary procedure by raising your hands, and then Hey called for a unanimous consent. So you'll see that reference shortly. But I'm going to share my screen. And bear with me just a second. All right. Hopefully you can see just my screen and not my presenter's notes. Is that what you're seeing? Thumbs up. Anybody? Yeah, okay, good. Thanks. While you're taking a look at this slide, I wanted to, again, my name is Gina Giambattista. I'm the director of the Office of the Assemblies. I've been doing this now for 8 years. I've been at Cornell for almost 15. I came here actually managing the East Asia program, and then I've been in university communications and right now university relations ever since. My colleague Wendy Treat is our senior coordinator. She, you'll see her right now. I think she's tagged herself as Office of the Assemblies. And we have as Wendy mentioned, we have a brand new clerk. Victoria is joining us for the very first time. This is her first meeting and first time actually clerking any of the meetings. So we're all new. Some of us new to the assemblies. Wendy, probably like Brian, has been here for quite some time. Wendy, did you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I am Wendy Treat, and as Gina said, I'm the senior coordinator for the Office of the Assemblies. I've been in this role almost 11 months, but I've been at the university 33 years. So, and I know a few of you from various other jobs, or I ride the bus, or I went to high school with you. So I'm really looking forward to working with all of you. And if you have any questions, just let us know. I'm the one that usually will nudge you to say, hey, rename yourself, or something like that.
Thank you. And Victoria Villalba, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, yeah, I just got the position of Clerk of Assembly last week, and currently I'm an undergrad student. I'm a junior in communication, and I'm excited to work on everything that you guys have me do. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So that's us, as Wendy said, not just through this presentation, but as you go along in your roles in the assembly, if you have any questions or need support, we're here for you. We'd say stop by the office, but until we're back on campus, an email or a text, anything will do. So shared governance. The assemblies are part of shared governance at Cornell. Like the faculty have a Senate, the staff and the students have an assembly. Excuse me. And like legislative bodies in our government, the assemblies are elected, representative, constituent bodies with some amount of delegated authority to affect, direct, or recommend policies to the highest levels of, well, in our case, the university. Shared governance is a term we use broadly to include the assemblies, the faculty senate, and the constituent elected trustees. As Heihei mentioned, we just concluded the election for our employee elected trustee at noon today, and the results hopefully will be announced this week. Cornell's shared governance bodies are an outgrowth of the unrest on campus in 1969. We all heard about the takeover at Willard Strait Hall. A few days after that, there was a mass meeting of over 7,000 people camped out in Barton Hall for 3 days discussing conditions on campus. That's that photo. Outcomes of this event were the assemblies, the university ombudsman, the campus code of conduct, and the student elected trustee. Cornell is one of relatively few institutions in the nation allowing its campus community to directly elect constituent members to its highest governing body. So Jeremy Cruiser has been filling as our elected trustee for the last 2 years. He was filling out an incidental vacancy resulted by, there was a result of the former trustee who left the university. And because of the delay, the new trustee will be seated right away. It's a 4-year term. Every member of the Cornell community has representation in shared governance, as you can see. The staff, grad and professional students, undergrad students, and faculty. And unique to Cornell is the University Assembly, which takes up issues of common interest to all members of the Cornell community. As Brandon mentioned, he's been appointed by the EA to sit on the University Assembly, and the chair of the EA also sits there, and then there are three other employee reps on the University Assembly. Jessica, I think, is the other EA appointed rep, and Pilar, and I can't remember who our fifth one is.
Thompson.
Pilar Thompson, but we have a second EA-appointed staff member. It'll come to me, or it might come to one of you. The assemblies, like the faculty senate, receive their authorities from the Board of Trustees. The authority includes recommending changes to university policies that affect constituents, subject to the approval by the president, who reviews and responds to all resolutions or legislation passed by the assemblies. So it's a delegated authority to make recommendations. The Office of the Assemblies. Well, what do we do? We provide support to the assemblies, your committees. We maintain the public record. We are the exchequer of the processes. We elevate, promote, and encourage participation in shared governance. We support all campus elections. We manage lots and lots of data. We work closely with the registrar and HRIS to have current correct data sets for all constituent groups, for all of our mailings and the elections. So if there's a blip in any of your emails or data points, please let us know. We work hard to make sure that it's all correct, and we work hard with our campus partners to correct anything that is out of line. And what do we, oops, this was a slide that I should not have been, well, what do we do for the EA? We provide much of the same. We provide a staff for regular meetings. In this case, it's not Corel, it's Victoria, who will prepare documents and meeting packets for the assemblies, prepare the minutes, prepare the audio recordings, post meeting materials, and if once we're back on campus, assist the assembly in reservation of spaces and other resources for regular meetings. Basically, we support the EA and your committees. We maintain a website with tools for your members, mostly the committee chairs and the vice chair for internal operations and budgets. And we're here to serve as a resource for anything that you need related to the assemblies or shared governance in general. As I mentioned, the legislative authority of the assembly is a delegated from the president. The assemblies have advisory authority to make recommendations which are reviewed by the president in consultation with the senior staff. Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer is the designated senior administrator for the employee assembly, and your executive committee works very closely and in fact meets on a regular basis with Mary Opperman. All assemblies have a mandate to represent constituent interests and bring issues of concern to the university leadership. Legislative authority to recommend changes to university policies that affect constituents subject to the approval by the president. Everything is pretty process driven. These are your processes. Sometimes they do need the approval to be changed by the president, but the assembly maintains the authority to designate its own ways of conducting its business. As I mentioned, all assemblies are ruled by your governing documents. Some may be changed internally, some require the approval of the president, but these are your documents and there are processes to change them, amend them, or table them. They include the assembly charter, the bylaws, standing rules, and then underneath that we'll get into Robert's rules. So who is Robert anyway? Robert's new rules of order is a set of rules for conduct at meetings that allows everyone to be heard and allows the assembly to make decisions without confusion, with sensitivities to those members less comfortable with speaking up, and in an effort to engage those to whom elected roles may be new. The use of Robert's rules of order ensures there's space at the table for all voices, the loud and the quiet. The role of the chair is to moderate the debate unless they are engaged in the issue or resolution, in which case the role of moderator and authority of chair moves to the executive vice chair until the matter is resolved and the vote is taken. A motion is a proposal that the assembly take certain action or that expresses itself as holding certain views. Motions need to be seconded, they're held in debate, and then they are voted on. When debating your motions, it probably goes without saying, but we say it anyway. These are sort of the golden rules of parliamentary procedure. Listen to the other side, focus on the issues and not the personalities, avoid questioning motives, and be polite. Different kinds of votes. There can be a roll call vote, and the responses are either for, against, or abstain. And an abstention is usually only if there's a distinct conflict of interest. The chair might call for clarification of abstentions if the distinct conflict of interest isn't there. You try not to use that just as a way to not vote. Unanimous consent was just done to pass your calendar. For certain motions, the chair may simply ask the assembly if there's any objection, and if no objections, the chair declares the action has been agreed to. As you get into considering resolutions, a few things to do to keep in mind. Develop the initiative or topic that you want to address. Search for legislative history surrounding the issue. We have a full, our website is searchable by term. You can do it by issue. solicit feedback from assembly members and your constituents. Remember that you here, you're at the table representing your colleagues, your college, your unit, your affinity groups as an at-large member. There are other folks that you can check in on to get feedback for your resolution or your idea. As you engage stakeholders, include administrators, staff colleagues, assembly committees, and if necessary, the local community, depending on the issue. There's a quick checklist. Check for legislative history. Check with our peer institutions. Maybe they've had the same issue and I've resolved it in a particular way, or might have resources that could be helpful. Make sure it's presented to all relevant committees. Solicit feedback from relevant university offices. Have support from as many members of the EA as possible. And if the issue is still unresolved, continue with drafting your resolution. By the point at which you do have a resolution, you should have a pretty good idea of how the debate and vote will go before your resolution comes to the floor, if you've done all of the outreach and you've solicited feedback from the assembly members. Oops, sorry. And that's it. Thank you very much. Be in touch. We're here for you, but we need to hear from you. Give us your candid feedback. Tell us how we can help you succeed, and keep us informed. The more we know, the more helpful we can be in helping you with your initiatives or your ideas. Let us know what you're planning. We can be of help. We're here to assist and prepare, to assist and support what you're doing. So thank you again. And if anybody has any questions, I can see if we can answer those.
Does anybody have any questions? Feel free to raise your hand or type it in the chat.
Great. Well, thank you all again. Looking forward to a great year.
Thank you. I just received a reminder from Wendy that we did not approve the minutes from the last session. Oh, thanks for cheering this on, Ellen. So I wanted to approve the minutes. So just for the newer members, at the beginning of every EA meeting, we approve the minutes from the prior meeting. So those are all available in the box. So I'm going to call a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting. Basically, we did a lot of farewells and final thoughts. If anybody had a chance to review that, feel free to do so. Is there any second for this motion to approve the minutes from last week? I'm just going to look to see if anybody is raising their hand or quick shout. It looks like Ellen is nodding her head. Is there any dissent? Feel free to indicate whether in the chat or in your screen. With no dissent, I'm going to approve these minutes from last meeting. And then moving on to the EAR1 vote on the EA budget. Every year we have a budget that we need to approve at the beginning of the EA year. So I'm going to shift this over to Jamie, who has worked very diligently on the EA budget.
Thanks, Hey. So the EA budget is our responsibility to spend, and usually a lot of that budget goes towards food for EA meetings. Usually when we're meeting in person, there's lunch provided. There's also money in the budget for food for various other events that we hold. It doesn't look like those are going to be happening or that money going to be needed for that purpose this year. And so we shifted some of the numbers around, and those are in box, but I don't know if they're in, Wendy, are those gonna be in the packet or, yeah, so I don't know if we just need to approve this or table it. I'm open to discussion on it. I know not everyone has had a chance to see it.
I think it's available in pending resolutions. I'm gonna share my screen so you all can see it. And let me, are you able to view it now? So we've got the fiscal year 21 budget, which is $9,555.
Yeah, so So the red, I put where we took some money out from previous years, and in the green, where we added that money to for this year. And those are the only real differences from past years.
Elena, it looks like you have your hand raised. Do you have a question?
Questions.
If you have a question, I am having trouble figuring out my screen here, so I'm not looking at what I want to be looking at. But I believe there was like a little bit of a remaining balance from last year, and I wanted to know in general like how rollover balance works, or do they only give us like do they give us the full lump sum budget, or do they just give us the difference to give us that starting budget? How does that work?
So unspent funds just stay in the accounts that they, like the university relations accounts that they come from. So there's no rollover, there's no carryover. It's a new budget every year, and then it starts over.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Brian Goodell has his hand raised.
I do. I don't believe it can be called EAR1 because that one was already used. It has to be EAR2.
Ellen?
We had some discussion about that.
No, sorry, Jamie, yeah. You can go ahead and explain that.
We discussed this. I can give this in my update, cover this with my executive committee update, but this was discussed and we felt that the summer session was a special session. And because this is a new assembly and we're starting over a new assembly year, essentially, that we should go back to the beginning with EAR1.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? I'm going to try to monitor. It looks like there are two participants with their hand raised.
Sorry.
Let's see, Kit Tannenbaum.
I'm wondering if there could be just like a quick rundown of what types of expenses would go to each category, like for example, like the education category or personnel policy.
That's a great question, Jamie.
Yeah, so I mean, basically the money that we get from the University Relations Office, it is intended for the administration and functioning of the EA specifically. So there are some guidelines that have come out to restrict where the money goes and how it can be spent, but it can be spent on anything that furthers the operation of the employee assembly. So anything that we need to run the employee assembly, it can be used for that. And so we can't be used. So one of the things that we took out of the budget this year that I guess had been in previous budgets was the employee assembly used to make a donation to the CARE Fund, and University Relations has decided that that is not an appropriate use of EA money. And so that has been zeroed out for this fiscal year.
Thank you. Kit, does that answer your question?
Not specifically. I guess I'm wondering when it comes to the EA, what types of monies are spent, or like what would an EA expense be related to education or personnel policy? Like, I think some of these are pretty cut and dry, but those are the two that stick out to me the most.
Sure. So, what I was thinking around those were if there were expenses that came up, part of because of we're all remote from campus and working in this different kind of environment, if there were things that we felt were important to do for communicating with staff and that had a cost associated with it, or promotion about the EA, I think those are things that communications funding could go towards. As far as education, if there was something the EA wanted to do education-wise, either for people on the EA or for staff in general, that might come out of that education budget. And then some of the new costs that we've had are the EA staff forums support. We've had to do a lot more transcription services, which have added cost to the EA operations. And so that money, we shifted that money around for that as well.
Okay, cool. And is there, I guess I'm trying to understand, is there a starting balance for these accounts, like where you said you move money?
Yeah, if you just want to scroll down. So this is up in box under the pending resolutions folder, I believe. And so that's the previous year's budget.
Okay, I'll go to take a look at that at some point.
Thank you. Moving on to Brandon, what is your question?
Actually, it was answered by you scrolling down. I wanted to see what the difference in the budget line for the food piece was, just knowing that we obviously aren't doing, sending everyone, Grubhub for these Zoom meetings or anything like that. wondered what the difference was there. So I see you've retained that $550. Is that just as a placeholder in the event that we're able to do meetings in the spring semester, or what was the guidance for that?
Well, it's the category is administrative. So it doesn't, while it was primarily used for food, it doesn't have to all be used for food. So I wanted to keep some money in there just for any kind of administrative expenses that might come up that would fall under that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Moving on to Andrea.
Yeah, my question was also answered. It was the same question that Brandon had. So thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Does anybody have any more questions? I believe that was the end of the questions.
Joseph?
Joseph, okay. Joseph?
Wait, please, Joe is fine.
Okay.
My question actually piggybacks on Brian's. EAR3, the resolution on anti-bias, was reviewed August 20th of 2020. And if I'm not mistaken, I'd have to go back and look at the meeting calendar, but that falls within this year, unless we're starting this year, September 2nd. So I'm wondering if EAR1 is appropriate given the meeting calendar that we do.
Yeah, good question. So I believe Wendy has her hand raised, so I'm going to allow Wendy to answer this.
So as Jamie and Karen explained, or Michelle explained, the three resolutions that were passed during the summer, so between June and end of August, now have a term associated with them of SUM 2020. I'm working with our web developers to make sure that that actually shows up as a legitimate term. Right now, you can only find them by clicking on Employee Assembly and any, and then finding those. But this was actually adopted by the Assembly on the 19th, conveyed to the President on the 20th, and acknowledged by the President on the 25th. So that was before the new members had been seated. I don't know if that helps at all or not.
It does, but then should we not amend the Employee Assembly meeting schedule for 2021 to not include those meetings that were labeled summer 2020? Because they're labeled fall 2020 right now.
I will defer back to Hey and the executive committee on that.
I mean, it's splitting hairs, I think, but
just
want to make sure everything's in the right bucket.
Yeah. I would like to make a motion to maybe separate out the summer meeting so that we kind of have that delineation so that there is no confusion around why some of these resolutions are, R1, and then we start off with new this calendar that reflects, you know, these resolutions. So that is my motion. Does anybody second that motion to have the summer session separate in the meeting calendar from the fall session? So Brian, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, I second it.
Second it. Is there any dissent?
No.
Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we will move this to update the meeting calendar to have summer delineated from these fall sessions so that we can continue. And so in regards to this resolution to pass the budget, anybody have any questions? Would they like to make any changes to this budget? I'm gonna scroll back to the top. Please raise your hand and then I will call on you. If there are no questions, I'll make a motion to approve R1, which is the budget for fiscal year, for the fiscal year. Andrew, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, and I just can't see this well on a small screen. I'm actually in the office. So just a quick question for clarification. Is there money from the food perspective for 2021? And if so, will that just be used for administrative fees for upcoming pending? Are we going to do the same thing with if we don't use the food budget in other ways? Is that been delineated in this budget?
Good question. I'm going to send that over to Jamie.
Yes. Yes, we will use it where we need to use it for the purposes of running the EA.
So, but do you need to clarify that, or is it okay just going forward with it as is?
So we don't need to specify what exactly the money will be spent on. And we can also amend this in the event that, you know, everything's great in the spring and we're back to meeting in person and we go back to having lunches. There's things that we can amend by a vote in the EA to update it. So this isn't like locked in stone. This is a guide going forward.
Great. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Ellen, you had a question?
I think I just wanted to offer a little more clarification as well, because I had a lot of questions about the budget in previous years that were answered for me and helped me understand it better. I think like we have this EA budget of $9,650, and I think it doesn't have to be strictly in the categories that we have listed it out in the budget. That's just the guideline to sort of follow as best as we can, but if we need to trade money between the categories, I believe that we can do that. And then additionally, like for the different committees, from my understanding is the committee can decide how they're going to spend that portion of the budget that they receive with the guidance from OA and Jamie, as long as it's within the guidelines of, you know, the EA mission and what were our allowable expenses. So I just wanted to, I hope that maybe helps a little bit as well.
I think that was very helpful. I think it being on the EA, I just assumed, you know, with these budgets, even though we were passing this, it is not written in stone. It isn't as if we can only spend $550 for administrative costs. There is some flexibility. As you mentioned, this is really sort of just a guide and sort of how we're going to, you know, begin the year. And as the year continues, I mean, maybe we'll need more support communications. Maybe we'll need less. There is flexibility here. Kit, you had your hand raised?
Yes, I was wondering, I'm just curious what the elections, what the expense totaled for elections this past election cycle.
I don't see in the fiscal year 20,
yeah, I know it's kind of a
or any costs.
Yeah, I know there's some overlap in between the fiscal years.
Jessica?
I don't think there were any expenses. I don't believe anyone that probably would have gone toward if candidates had filed a reimbursement request, and I believe no one did.
Thank okay. You, can you scroll back up, Hey?
Yeah, sure.
I'm almost wondering with the elections if we could reduce some of that allocated money and put it towards communications or towards the EA staff form support based on the response that we've gotten thus far.
Okay, so it sounds like you would like to make a motion to decrease the elections budget and then increase a different line of the budget. Do you have a suggestion for how much you would like to decrease the elections by and then how much you would like to increase the EA staff forums by? Is that your...
Sure, sorry, this is my first, first go around at this. I guess we definitely want to leave some funds in elections. I mean, mm-hmm. I would be open to maybe cutting it in half and splitting it in, splitting that half into halves and then adding to EA staff form support or and communications.
Okay, so you're making a motion to reduce the elections budget to $550, and then increasing the president's address, the EA staff forum budget to $2,050, correct?
Increasing, so decrease elections to 550,
mm-hmm.
and then increase staff forum support to mm-hmm. 1775, I think, and then communications to 2275.
Okay, 1775, and then how much for communications?
2275.
Okay. All right, Andrea, you, before we vote on this motion, did you have a question? I see your hand is raised. Andrea? Andrea, do you have, okay, Jamie, I see your hand is raised.
So, I guess I'm not sure that this might, fine-tuning the budget might be the best use of this. So I'm just wondering if we table, I'm proposing a motion to table the budget vote so that those who would like to provide some feedback and work on it further, we can meet outside of the meeting and do that and then re-present it to the EA.
Okay, thank you. Good suggestion. Brian, you had your hand raised as well.
Yeah, I second that. At this time, I don't know if Alec, changing it up is necessary. I think if the need arises, then that's the time to look at the budget and then change it up if we so desire. So at this time, I don't see the need.
Okay, great.
So I would second his motion to table it.
Okay, so there are two motions. I'm going to proceed with the first motion. Andrew, are you I see your hand is still raised. She might have left, but there are two
motions. I don't have a raised hand. This is Karen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's frustrating. I don't have a raised hand button as a...
Oh, okay.
Or whatever. So and I was hoping Gina would kind of chime in here too. So I think that reallocating funds is a little premature. We have no idea what's going to be happening in the next, in the spring. We can see from the previous year's budget that expenses dropped off significantly when we went remote. So I think the budget as it stands is a very good starting point for all of us, considering that we're going to be remote and we don't have any idea what the spring is going to bring. So I'm all for tabling it. I don't think it's necessary to table it. I think that we can revisit it in the spring when we have a clearer picture of what might happen. I think it's just, my sense is it's just going to be more of the same. We will be remote and, our expenses are just going to be flat. But I'm happy to table it if folks are wanting to do that. But the other thing with the budget, and Gina has explained this very thoroughly in the past, is there are line items, but it's a fluid budget. We have a set amount of money per year, the 9,650. And if we have to say, if you can see that there was a deficit in administrative, but if there's not a deficit in other accounts, it's not going to count against, there's these line items are just sort of, you know, they're there to help us to decide where we want to put the funds. But if we have less money spent on food and meetings, but more spent on communications, but we only had, you know, 550 for communications, it's okay to be able to move money over to other line items.
Okay. Gina, did you have anything to add?
It's a flexible budget more or less how to treat it.
Yeah, I agree. Gina, did you have anything to add before we go into voting on these motions?
Just, I think I can support what Karen says, and also I think I may offer a different perspective on Kit's concern or suggestion. As Karen said, essentially you have a budget. It's a pie. However you cut up that pie over the course of your term is absolutely up to the assembly. You can move pieces around depending on things that come up, things that don't come up. It's entirely flexible. So what you're talking about now is essentially approving the guidelines at the start of your term moving forward, because these are the things that you're anticipating will be the expenses. To the question of the elections line particularly, I think that might be a place to look. I mean, traditionally, those are printing expenses for an election. And that assumes that everybody is handing papers out, quarter cards, postering on bulletin boards, and none of that's going to be happening anytime soon. So if there's a place that it's likely that you won't have any expenses, it probably is in that elections line, or very little. The last time, I think, was in 2019, you spent about $400, maybe less than $500. So that's just a place that, again, anticipating that in the spring, we don't know what's going to happen, but congregating is probably still not going to be something that we're going to be advocating. Who knows? But that, I think, to the question of looking at this, how the pie is cut up right now, there's a big slice for something that's probably not going to be used. But so to that point, I think Jamie's suggestion of tabling and having a further discussion is a very good one.
Okay, sounds good. In the interest of time, let's go on to these motions. First, we're going to start with Kit's motion to change the budget. Is there a second for that motion? I'm going to stop sharing the screen so I can go to the vote. Using the Zoom function, can you vote on this? If you would like to vote to approve the motion to change the budget based on, you know, what we had said to reduce the communications to 550, increase the staff forum to 1775, and then increase the communication to 2275, please vote yes or no if you do not agree, and you can text. I mean, you can enter abstain if you want to abstain from this vote. So I'm going to open it up now. We're going to need a majority vote on this. So I'm going to allow for people to vote now.
Was there a second?
There were two votes. Well, now it's changed to one vote, yes. So there are two votes for yes. So based on the vote right now, we've got 13 no's, 2 yeses. This motion will not go forward. I'm now going to clear this, and then we're going to vote on the second motion, which is a motion to table this. So I'm going to clear this. And then is there a second to for this motion to table? Anybody raise their hands? I see. So I see Christy has raised her hand. So let us vote to table R1, which is the budget. Please enter in your vote. It looks like we have a majority, which is 15 yes, 2 no. So With that, we're going to pass this motion to table this. If anybody would like to work with Jamie after this meeting to talk about how they would like to change the budget, please get in touch with him, and then we'll bring this resolution back on the floor in the next meeting to approve the budget. So I'm going to clear this and then move on to the next agenda item, which is committee bylaws. I'm going to send this over to Karen Michelle.
Okay, I just wanted to take a real quick second to just point you over to the bylaws, Article 3, Section 3.1 through, I believe it's 3.3 or further, but it's line 162. So the assembly establishes standing or ad hoc committees as appropriate by a majority vote of our seated voting members, which we have, and we've actually amended those committees in a previous session. So we have standing committees, and we have responsibilities to those committees as members of the EA. And I would like to remind everyone that to sign up for a committee, to go through the bylaws. We have already seated the chairs of the committee, and so they may have been reaching out for folks to join their committees. I am on the executive committee, the communications committee, and the benefits policy committee, and that sort of fulfills my obligation and duties as an EA member to be on at least three committees, whether it be a chair or a voting member. So, and then each committee, as you know, will hold and publicize at least two meetings per semester. In the past, I think we met every other week, depending upon the committee and depending upon the issues that were brought up. So again, it's not a larger commitment than the meetings that we already attend for the EA, but it's a good solid commitment, especially if we're, you know, as we did on the benefits policy committee, tackled some real important issues. And all of the committees do tackle important issues. It just depends. It's sort of sometimes, you know, the ebb and flow of things that come in, it changes given the time of, you know, year or what is happening, et cetera. So, and if you go through, you'll see the charges of each of the standing committees. And basically, this is just my plug to go through the bylaws and sort of align yourself with the committees that sort of speak to the issues that you hold near and dear, and to go ahead and sign up for some committees.
Thank you. We are quickly running out of time. We do have on the new business a resolution to R2, which is recognition and appreciation of volunteer retirement incentive program participants. I would like to have a discussion on this, whether or not we want to vote on it today before the time runs out. So I want to provide some time for I believe Ashley worked on this to talk about R2. Oh, sorry, Ellen.
Actually, Ellen.
It was Ellen.
My resolution, and I'm happy to do a quick presentation of it. I'm actually just going to read it because it's really pretty straightforward. It's in recognition and appreciation of the Voluntary Retirement Incentive Program participants. And we say the abstract: on the occasion of the retirement of 213 faculty and staff participants in the VRI program effective September 16th, the Employee Assembly thanks and celebrates their careers and contributions to the Cornell community. And we are saying the whereas clauses are just stating that the Employee Assembly was established for the employees. The VRI program was designed to provide recognition for staff while also offering savings for the university's financial challenges during this COVID crisis. Eligible VRI participants were all benefit eligible academic and non-academic staff who had at least 10 years of service to the university, and 213 members did participate in that. And so the resolution is just to publicly recognize and thank those 213 employees, and to recognize that the difficulty of this time and that participation in the program may have been a difficult decision for some, but we congratulate and send our best wishes to all of them. And the resolution will be presented to the president, to Mary Opperman, to Joel Molina, and also a copy to the VRI retirees who are not listed as anonymous. And I, as an addendum to that, I've also listed the full list of 213 recipients, except for those who were asked to be anonymous. So that is the resolution in a quick, super fast nutshell. And I would love it if everyone is in agreement and we could just get it going today, because today is the official last day for those employees. It's the official retirement day today.
So I want to open this up for questions. Does anybody have any questions? It looks like there is a move to vote on EAR2, but are there any questions? It doesn't look like there are any. So I know that some people have had some, so I've got a second from Joe and also second from Jamie. I want to explain the voting. So in your Zoom, there should be a yes check and then a no red X. Does everybody see that? If we can, let's proceed to vote. If you don't see the yes or no, then you can just type in yes or no. So right now I'm going to move to vote in R2. So please use the yes or no, or also write abstain or anything in the commentary. So right now we've got one no, one abstention, 20 yeses. So it looks like we do have a majority. No, you don't see the.
I think the question, the no was to, do you find the participants? It's the yes, okay. No, and abstain is under the participants tab at the bottom. Does that help?
Yeah.
Maybe, call for the vote again with that in mind.
Okay. So
I'll clear
once.
It.
I'm sorry?
I just cleared the vote and you can.
Okay. No. All right. Please enter your vote again. All right. So we have one abstention. We got 19 votes. Yes. Is everybody's vote in? It looks like it is. So it looks like we do have a majority vote. So with that, Resolution 2 in recognition and appreciation of voluntary retirement incentive program participants, this resolution will go through to Martha Pollack for approval, for, you know, commentary, for rejection. So thank you all for participating in that. I'm sorry?
I just want to say thank you to everyone, and I will be dipping into that communications budget a little bit to send out a copy to all of the recipients, a stamp on the envelope.
Thank you. And also, while we have a moment here, in regards to the VRI, on Monday, there was a presentation that Ashley and I think Karen and Brandon all worked on through this platform that was set up. I want to take a moment to thank Ashley for all of her hard work. Thank, you know, Brandon for emceeing. Thank Karen for her participation. Ashley, do you have a couple of things to say about the VRI, presentation from Monday?
Yes, I wanted to broadly thank the Employee Assembly and really the executive team, because I know we were in transition at the time, for supporting and actually sponsoring and co-hosting the event alongside Human Resources and Cornell Recreation Connection Group. Specifically, I wanted to thank Wendy, Brian, and Ellen for all of their support behind the scenes and just getting this event off the ground and moving forward. I literally had 5 days, one of which was a holiday, to put this thing together. So thank you to all of you. And thank you so much to Karen and Brandon. Brandon was the MC, as Hey Hey had said, And Karen was our first speaker on behalf of the Employee Assembly to open up the program. So just thank you so much for everybody's support and your help. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Ashley. Andrea, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, it was fabulous. You guys did a terrific job. So thank you.
I was super impressed by it. It was seamless and really, really nice. And all the presentations were really enjoyable. And I liked it a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. It is 1:30 right now. We can vote to close this meeting. We can vote to extend it. I know that there were still some items that we might not have gotten to, such as the open discussion or the executive committee report. So I want a motion to, does anybody want to extend this meeting by 10 minutes? Do we have a second? Or we can also close this meeting. So Karen seconds to extend this by 10 minutes. Do I have a second? Joe, any dissent? Okay, so let us extend this meeting by 10 minutes so that we can go over the executive committee report. So I'm gonna send this over to Karen.
Thank you. So the executive committee met on September 9th and our agenda was a discussion on the retreat and sort of our orientation meeting. And how to proceed with that. In a typical year, a non-COVID year, we would have had a retreat prior to sort of where we would have set our sort of agenda and tone for this session. And we would have talked about, that's where Gina would have done the Roberts rules and introductions, et cetera, and people would have made pitches for their committees. And so we took part of our agenda for this meeting to go over some of the things that we would do for the retreat. And what we would like to do is maybe discuss some retreat options with everyone and either do like a virtual half day retreat where we can have Mary Opperman kick off our retreat meeting and stuff like that. And then the other items that we discussed was the president's address to staff and the timeline for that. So the committees are gonna have to move. I think Hey was reaching out to the president's office to find a date that works. And we're thinking maybe mid-October to sort of get us over the hump of you know, middle to end of the semester and moving into sort of Thanksgiving holidays, et cetera, and Christmas. So we're hoping that we'll get some a date for that. And I think what we decided, and of course, if the EA has any other recommendations, please feel free to share, but you know, I think we'd like to have it just be President Pollack addressing the staff. In past years, we've had people from senior leadership as well as President Pollack. And I think my recommendation was to have just President Pollack give an address and sort of maybe highlight some of the really positive things that have been going on at the university that we might not hear about every day. I think that we're all looking to hear some silver lining to all of this. And that's what, you know, we're sort of hoping for. But again, we're open to suggestions and recommendations from the entire EA on the focus of the president's address and as well as the retreat. So that was the bulk of our discussion at for the executive committee meeting.
Thank you. If anybody has any suggestions, please send them over to Karen. Maybe some topics you want to hear, some things you want the president to bring up during the president's address to staff. As we continue planning, we're going to solicit questions from the employee assembly members. You know, what are some questions you would like to direct towards the president? So that is on the horizon. Moving on to open discussion, we have about 6 minutes. I know that there's been some individuals that have emailed me separately with maybe some ideas. I want to open this up to everybody on on. Is there anything you would like to discuss, any topics, any items you would like to work on, anything you just kind of want to bring to the EA body? Ellen?
Just really quickly, we don't have to talk about it today, but just an idea to think about for the future. I noticed Christine wrote this in the chat as well, and I was thinking the same thing, that members are expected to be on 3 committees, and that seems like an overkill. And I thought for some reason that we only had to be on 1 committee, and I feel like I should know that better. I should know the bylaws better. But I'm wondering if maybe that's something we want to address, because we are a larger body now. And we all have a lot of other commitments, and I don't know if we really need to be on 3 committees. So just something to think about and maybe discuss for the future.
Thank you, Ellen. That's a good point. I think Jessica had a question as well.
Yeah, Deborah had contacted you, Hey, and she has had to leave early. So I was looking for the email. We had constituents reach out to us about the dashboard and how to understand or clarify.
Yeah, let me bring this up as well. So I know somebody else has gotten in touch with me in regards to the dashboard. So as we all know, we have a Cornell COVID dashboard, which displays metrics, but they don't necessarily align with the New York State metrics. So the way that New York State is counting them, because there's a threshold of 100 students with new infections for a 2-week period. Once we reach that threshold, then we have to go transition into online learning for 2 weeks. So we have this COVID dashboard that is counting the new COVID cases, but it's not counting it the same way as the New York State is counting it to meet this 100 new cases threshold. So so there was a suggestion from a constituent in regards to improving the dashboard so that it more aligns with the New York State guideline as described. So I think that's a really good point. I know that other people have mentioned the issues with the dashboard. You know, it only gives you, for a while, it was only giving you 1 week of, you know, information at a time. Now you can sort of toggle back. But now as we talk about how we're really counting these cases, it's not reflective of, you know, the metrics and the rubric that we're using for New York State. So I think that's a good point that was brought up. Jeremy, you've raised your hand. You're on mute. We can't hear you.
Sorry, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but this question has come up to me as well over and over again. So this is a regularly asked question about the difference between the numbers of Ithaca campus cases versus those official cases for New York State accounting. And if you kind of really read the detailed text to the right of the second number, what it talks about is these numbers that are counted in that smaller number are only those that are enrolled in a class on campus. So the difference that you're looking at between those two numbers is total Cornell students, regardless of whether they're enrolled in classes, which is the larger first number, they're still Cornell students, versus the smaller number, which is the ones that we need to report for that 100 count cap on whether we have to go fully remote, which is only those that have classes in a classroom on campus.
Thank you. Any other commentary on this? Any suggestions for what to do with this? I had intended to add this on a list, an ongoing list of questions to bring up during staff forums or also to leadership as we meet. So this is definitely on the list of items to bring up. Joe, you had your hand raised.
Jeremy, am I to understand that students taking classes entirely online are included in one total, but only those students who have an in-person class are included in the other total?
That's correct. The larger first number includes students, some of them that live locally, that do not have an in-person class. They are online only. The second number reported for the state, and if you read that fine text to the right, what it talks about is they have to have an in-person class on campus, on the Ithaca campus, in order to be counted as part of that number.
In order to be counted toward the 100 threshold.
That's correct.
Okay, that could be clarified. or if there was a way on the dashboard to disaggregate people who have in-person classes versus not, but people who are entirely online. I think that would be helpful.
Thank you. With that, we're at 1:40 already. I'm going to make a motion to dismiss. Do I have a second to close this meeting out? Rigel, is there, and also Joe, is there any dissent to ending this meeting? Seeing no dissent, this meeting is closed. Thank you everybody for your participation and welcome to a whole new year on the EA. Thank you, take care.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.